Hello, I'm Chicago Sports Network.
And I'm American Football Network, and today we bring you our final college football playoff top 25 predictions. This is the final poll that the college football playoff will put out to end the season, and we are predicting it.
So make sure that you go and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Chicago Sports Network and American Football Network on YouTube. Make sure that you are following us on whatever platform you are listening, whether that's Spotify, Anchor, or any other website that we are on. Is there anything else you want to say before we get into a quick ad break?
Yeah, just help me get to my 50 subscriber goal, and make sure you check out my podcast, College Football Rave, on Spotify.
So we are going to go to a quick ad break before we head into the main chunk of our show. We will be back in 1 second. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. As always, I'm Chicago Sports Network, joined by American Football Network. Let's get started with our NCAA final prediction of the top 25. So at number 25, I have the Marshall Thundering Herd. I think Marshall should be an incredible team, especially in Conference USA in this upcoming year. So I think that Marshall should be an interesting team, and a team that has a lot to prove after last year having a good season, but then kind of falling off towards the end. What do you think about Marshall, and then who do you have at number 25?
I think that's a solid pick. I debated on Marshall having them in here, but ultimately I decided to go with UCF at 25. I think they'll go 9-4 overall, and I think they'll finish as the AAC runner-up. UCF. They get Gus Malzahn as their new coach. They obviously have Dylan Gabriel, a really good quarterback. They're just overall a really talented team. I think they're the second best team in the AAC, and I think they should have no problem winning 9 games. I have them 9-4. I know that adds up to 13, but we're also counting in conference championship. So I think they'll lose the conference championship as well as the regular season game to Cincinnati. What do you think about UCF?
I think UCF should be an interesting team this year. I don't have UCF in my top 25, mostly because I don't know whether I fully trust Gus Malzahn to be able to bring the program to a top 25 status in his first year, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does. I think it mostly depends on the shoulders of Dylan Gabriel, because if he is a good quarterback in what we think he'll be, he could be an improved star and competing with the AAC with Cincinnati, so I think that could be interesting. Going into the conference championship game and the Athletic American Conference's schedule, I think it should be an interesting year. Going to number 24, I have the Nevada Wolfpack. I think that Nevada, with the quarterback that they have in Carson Strong, should have a strong team this year, mostly because of the returning production and the returning stars. And there have been a lot of success at Nevada generally these past couple of years. So I think that Nevada could be an interesting team this upcoming season. And I think that the Mountain West is kind of wide open. Once you get past Boise State and maybe San Diego State or San Jose State will make it interesting. But I think that Nevada is probably the top dog in the Mountain West Conference. What do you think about Nevada, and who do you have at 24?
I agree. I think Nevada's a little bit better than 24. I have them a little higher. They will be on my list at some point, my top 25. I love Carson Strong. I love that offense. They run an air raid offense. Carson Strong, in my opinion, I think he's going to throw for 5,000 yards this year. He's a really good quarterback, really good NFL talent. He should be a top 3-round pick if this year goes like I expect it to go for him. At 24, I have TCU. TCU, a very talented team. Their schedule is very hard to predict because you have to look at some of these teams that they have. They have teams like Texas. We don't really know what Texas is going to be under Sarkisian. They have some tougher teams, but they play them at home, so that gives TCU the benefit. But I have them going 8-4. I think they'll have a pretty solid year, and I think they'll get number 24. I think they'll be the number 24 team in the country.
I think that TCU is a very interesting team, and with 10 offensive returning starters and 8 defensive, I think that this team could be scary, and I have them a little bit higher up on my list. But I think that TCU could be a very interesting and intriguing third team in the Big 12, which is kind of what I think they'll be at later on, just because you have firmly at 1 and 2 Iowa State and Oklahoma. And after that, maybe you have Texas, maybe you don't, depending on how much you like Steve Sarkisian in his first year. And like I said with Gus Malzahn at UCF, I don't know whether I fully trust him, just because you have the talent. Don't get me wrong, Texas is a very talented program, and I think Tom Herman did leave some good pieces, unlike what Charlie Strong did. But I think that the organization as a whole is going to need kind of a reboot. And they we'll see whether they have a quarterback this season in Casey Thompson or whoever ends up being their quarterback. I think that the quarterback position is most interesting for that school. But I think going back to TCU, I think that they have a big season upcoming for Gary Patterson as he is entering into one of his later years as a head coach and becoming one of the oldest head coaches in NCAA. So on to number 23, I have Louisiana Lafayette, I think that Louisiana, led by Bill Napier, is a very good program that has really started to develop themselves over the past couple of years, sending people to the NFL like Robert Hunt and being able to have a bunch of other stars really break out from, I think, Elijah Mitchell went to that school. And you had a couple other solid players. So I really think that this upcoming year, even though you lose Mitchell, and I think that that could be a key loss, but I think that Louisiana, being the second best team in, what's the conference they're in?
Sunbelt.
I get them confused all the time with the AAC because they're in the same general area. But I think that they'll probably be the second best team behind Coastal Carolina. What do you think about Louisiana, and who do you have at number 23?
I agree with Louisiana being a top 25 team, but I think they're going to be much better than where you have them ranked. I think they're going to be much higher. You will see them later on my list. I am really high on Louisiana. They have a really good offense, a pretty solid defense to go along with it, and Billy Napier is one of the best coaches in the country, and we'll probably be moving on from Louisiana Lafayette pretty soon to go on to a Power 5 team that is ready to win some national championships. And kind of a bold prediction, I feel like Billy Napier will eventually win a national championship. He's just that good of a coach. It really all depends on where he goes as a program overall, though. If he can go to a good dominant Power 5 team or a historically dominant Power 5 team, like a Florida State, for example, that's kind of struggling right now, I think he could lead them. I think he is one of those guys that could get them out of their rebuild mode and into championship mode. At 23, I have Boise State. I have them going 12-1, Mountain West runner-ups. I have them losing to Nevada in the championship game, but beating Nevada in the regular season because that game is at Boise State. And I just love Boise State's offense. The question is, though, their coach Brian Harsin goes to Auburn. What is this Boise State team going to look like? But I think they're just too talented and too weak of a conference, really, to play too bad. I think they go 12-1, like I said, and are the Mountain West runner-ups.
I think Boise State could be an interesting team coming into this season. But like I said before, I'm a little bit more distrusting of first-year head coaches in particular. So I think that with a good coach in Brian Harsin, if I said that correctly, I think that that could be a little bit more detrimental to a Boise State compared to a bigger Power 5 school that signed a big name coach or stuff like that. I think I don't have Boise State in my top 25 particularly, but I think that Boise State is a considerably good team. And the only reason why I don't have my top 25 is because I think Nevada just sneaks in there. And I think Boise State is in the top 25 until they lose to Nevada in the conference championship game in the Mountain West Conference. So I think Boise State could be a good team this year, and they could beat Nevada twice. But I think that that is a tall task for a Boise State team that just lost their head coach and has some key returning or has some key production loss this season. Heading on to number 22, I have the Arizona State Sun Devils. Me personally, I know a lot of people are really, really high on Arizona State, but my biggest issue with Arizona State is I don't know how good of a coach Herm Edwards is. Like, and I think he's a good recruiter, but like as a coach himself, I'm not 100% sure if he's truly found his groove. And I'm kind of wondering what that groove will be. Just because you have so many different pieces going on, I really like Jaden Daniels, a possible Heisman contender, and maybe a Pac-12 player of the year. But I think that it could be interesting going into this season. I don't know what I think of Arizona State, mostly because I don't know what I think of Herm Edwards, but I think Arizona State being in a weaker Pac-12 conference is going to have a hard time losing too many games, so I think that they will be in the top 25 at number 22. Lincoln, who do you have at number 22, and what do you think of Arizona State?
I can't believe you disrespected Herm Edwards like that. I love Herm. Herm is one of my favorite coaches in the NCAA. Arizona State is way up in my rankings. You might forget that Reichley had them so low, they're so far up in mine. I have them way up there. But I think they're a great team, a great offense with Jaden Daniels. I think they have a favorable schedule. They get a lot of their tougher games at home. And I think they're going to go on, and I think they're going to do some great things this season, and that offense is just so dangerous. But at 22, I have LSU. They get Derek Stingley back, the best corner in the NCAA. That was a huge move by LSU to get him back as he opted out last year. I think LSU is going to have a really good season. They have a really, really favorable schedule. They only have three teams that, in my opinion, can beat them, and they might not be favored in those games, and that's Bama, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. I think they lose all three of those. I have them going 9-3. I could see them beating Texas A&M and going 10-2, but I just like Texas A&M overall a lot better, and I just trust that team a lot more than I trust this younger LSU team. I do think LSU is going to have a really good season, and I think they come in at 22 and kind of revenge themselves from a down season last year compared to their national championship season in 2019.
So my biggest thing with this is I agree with Lincoln with the record of 9-3, but personally I think the playoff committee really favors SEC teams, so I just have LSU a little bit higher up in the rankings. But I agree with him schedule wise, record wise, and game predictions wise. I just think that the CFP is a little bit more favorable to the SEC conference, so I'm a little bit higher up on my list. But
For sure, for sure.
I agree with almost all the points that he made. But on to number 21. I have the NC State Wolfpack, and I know that Lincoln kind of disagrees with me a little bit with how NC State season gonna go, but I recommend going to check out the Clemson schedule prediction or breakdown of their season on my YouTube channel, Chicago Sports Network, or on American Football Network. Make sure you check that out. It's a really interesting episode, and we talked a lot about NC State, so I would check that out if you're a big NC State fan. But the reason why I have NC State at number 21 is mainly because of the weakness of the ACC and the returning production that the NC State Wolfpack have. You have a returning quarterback and a dark horse Heisman contender, and I will say that I did get this from Lincoln, so I will give him a little bit of credit there. And Devin Leary, you also have a good wide receiver and Emir. How do you say that name? Is it Emery? I don't know. But their wide receiver is really good. And then you have Zonnan Knight as their running back. And I really think with that combination and a returning defense of, I'm pretty sure, 10 returning starters, it could be a really interesting season for NC State. And so that is why I have them at number 21.
Yeah, I have NC State on my top 25. I just have them a little bit higher up. I love NC State. Yes, I do. I don't think Devin Leary is going to be one of those guys that wins the Heisman or even gets to New York, but I think he could be one of those guys that sneaks into the top five, top seven voting, and most people, just average college football fans, don't even really know or think about it. Just don't even realize it until the final voting comes out. He was that good. But I expect big things from NC State this year. I like NC State a lot. At 21, I have Nevada Wolfpack. I have them going 12-1, becoming the Mountain West champs, beating Boise State, revenging their loss earlier in the regular season. Nevada, like I've already talked about, they have a really good offense, the air raid style. Carson Strong, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And I expect big things from him this year. Like I said, I expect a 5,000-yard passing season from him. He is a very talented quarterback with a very good arm.
So my biggest question for you, and you're a Packers fan, so I think that this question kind of is very relative to the Packers. Do you think Carson Strong is the next Jordan Love out of the Mountain West Conference?
I think he very well could be, although I don't think he's going in the first round unless he just puts up unreal numbers and somehow and gets into like the top 10 for the Heisman voting this year. I don't think he's going first round, but I could definitely see him being kind of like a Davis Mills sort of, okay, but going earlier than Davis Mills. Kind of a guy that goes into the draft, not really a lot of hype around him, and then surprises a lot of people, gets drafted in the second or third round. And I think he's going to be an NFL starter. I really do. He has a lot of talent, a live arm, he's just a great overall quarterback. Great poise in the pocket, height. He's got it all.
So then I have one more question for you with this, because I already talked about Nevada. So one more question. Do you think that Cliff Kingsbury drafts him as Kyler Murray's backup because he plays in an air raid style offense?
I think that could happen. I just don't know if the Cardinals are going to be willing to spend a second or third round pick on a backup quarterback, because Carson Strong is going to be gone by the end of the third round. He's not lasting until day three. If he does, there's no telling who he goes to, because everybody's going to be trying to trade up to get him. And if he falls that far, there must be something wrong. Like maybe he suffers an injury this year that we don't predict happening, or maybe his combine numbers aren't very good. I don't know, but I don't expect him to fall to day three.
Okay, and I know this is kind of trailing off topic, and I'm sorry if you're in this for the top 25, but I have one more question for you, because this is Mountain West related, and you can go quick with this answer. Tate Martell, one of the highest ranking recruits of kind of all time, and really one of the highest hype recruits, being on QB1 Under the Lights and the Netflix program, he transferred to UNLV. Do you think that could be an interesting matchup with Tate Martell and Carson Strong later on this season?
I think it'll be a good head-to-head battle at quarterback. I just don't know if UNLV has the talent or the offensive weapons to keep up with Nevada. Nevada is going to put up major points this year, and I'm just not sure that UNLV has those offensive weapons to keep up. But Tate Martell is definitely a very good quarterback in his own right.
Okay, so at number 20, I have the Florida Gators. And I don't know completely what to make of the Florida Gators this season, just because I'm not a super big fan of Emory Jones. Like, he never really came off to me as a particularly good quarterback. I know that Oklahoma game, Kyle Trask struggled, but he also struggled immensely. So I think that could be a track record maybe, but I highly doubt it. So I'm not very high on Florida this year. I think that you see losses against Georgia and who else are they playing? Georgia and Texas A&M and LSU. So I think that you could see losses there. I think that it could be interesting to see whether there's another shoe thrown in the LSU-Florida game. I'm sorry, Florida fans. I'm sorry. That had to be soul-crushing. I know.
Never again will we ever hear a referee say personal foul and sportsmanlike conduct throwing a shoe 30 yards downfield.
You know, the funniest thing about it is that if you look up old NFL refs, they literally say personal foul, roughing the passer, the guy hit him too hard or something. Like, look up those videos. They're kind of a joke. But they literally used to do that. I kind of missed that refereeing, so I had to kind of put in that joke.
And I'm sure you NC State fans are very familiar with the giving of the business call. One of the greatest penalty calls ever.
Oh, man. But what do you think of Florida, and who do you have at number 20?
I'm not high on Florida enough to have them in I'm not high enough on them to have them in my top 25. I think they'll be in the top 30. I think they're going to be one of those teams that are just outside the top 25. They're a solid team, but I just don't think they have enough to crack the top 25. At number 20, I have Ole Miss, and I think instead of LSU, you meant to say Ole Miss.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, I meant Ole Miss. I'm sorry.
Ole Miss, Ole Miss, I think, is going to beat them. I'm pretty sure it's Ole Miss. It's LSU or Ole Miss, one of those two.
Here, let me look this up, and I'm just going to finish this thing once and for all, because we sound stupid whenever somebody pauses the video and looks it up, and it's like, oh, yeah. I see them losing, Alabama, that's a loss.
Okay, Bama.
At LSU is a LSU. Probable loss, and then Georgia is a
Georgia.
Probable
so
loss.
What? It was LSU. Okay. I thought it was LSU, and then once I started going to my number 20 team, Ole Miss, it had me questioning if it was Ole Miss or LSU. But Matt Corral is one of the top five quarterbacks in the country right now, in my opinion. He can throw. There's highlight clips. There's videos of him throwing 70-yard deep balls in games last year, and they're accurate. He has a huge arm. I think Ole Miss goes 9-3 this year. I like Ole Miss a lot, and I expect this offense to put up some numbers. The defense, I think, got like 10 transfers on the defensive side of the ball, so Lane Kiffin really making it a point to fix that defense. And if they can just have a decent defense, an average defense, this team is dangerous.
Okay, so the point that I want to make here, and there's a couple of points, and I'm sorry if I'm going down a lot of rabbit holes today. One being, Ole Miss beat Indiana last year, and Indiana almost beat Ohio State. Ohio State beat Clemson, and I'm sure if Ole Miss played Clemson, Ole Miss would lose 9 times out of 10.
Now, to be fair, Michael Penix Jr. tore his ACL in this game, or the game before. I can't remember.
It was the game before.
I think it was the game before, yeah.
But the thing that I find most interesting is that, do you think that with having an SEC-only schedule, it hurt Ole Miss, and Ole Miss was better than we thought they were, even though I think they went like 5-5 or 6-5 or something? Like, it looked like a mediocre record, but when they beat Indiana, it looks like, oh, they just beat a top 15 team, and so I thought that was kind of interesting. Second point that I wanted to make, second rabbit hole I want to go down, is Matt Corral almost went to Florida, but when Dan Mullen came, he went after Justin Fields. Obviously, he never got Justin Fields, and Justin Fields went to Georgia and then transferred to Ohio State. What do you think would have happened if Matt Corral was at Georgia? And do you think, or not Georgia, Florida, do you think that Matt Corral could have been the difference between Florida beating LSU and beating Alabama, that SEC championship game? Because I think that with Kyle Trask, I don't think Kyle Trask was that good. I think it was just Kadarius Toney, Kyle Pitts were that good.
If Matt Corral was at Florida, Florida would have made the college football playoff. Bama would have not, because Matt Corral is a much better quarterback than Kyle Trask. He has mobility in the pocket. He can move around the pocket. He can even scramble from time to time. He has a better arm. He's more accurate all around on the field, and he has a much, much better deep ball than Kyle Trask. Kyle Trask, he just has no arm strength at all. He's never going to make it. He's not going to make it very far in the NFL unless Brady and gives him his secrets and gives him all the drugs that Brady's taken and all the cheat codes that he has. That's really the only way I see that. I see that happening, and Kyle Trask working out as a starter in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that it'll be really interesting to see what happens there. But the reason why I went down all those rabbit holes was because at number 19, I have Ole Miss. So I know we were talking about Ole Miss. He had him at 20. I have him at 19. So I think Ole Miss is going to be a very talented team this year. The problem is that beating Alabama, beating an LSU, beating a Texas A&M, those are all hard matchups in and of themselves. But beating all of them, that's a tall order to fill, and I don't think that's something Lane Kiffin can do. So that's why I have them at 19 and not like in the top 10. So you heard Lincoln's thoughts about Ole Miss. So what do you have at number 19 for you?
At number 19, I have Indiana. I think Michael Penix bounces back pretty good from that torn ACL. And I think Indiana is good enough to go 9-3 this year with some losses to Iowa, Ohio State, and they'll lose to one other team in there, probably Cincinnati, in my opinion. But Indiana, a solid team with a good offense and a good defense. They do lose some good pieces on the back half of that secondary, in particular Jamar Johnson, the safety. But I still expect big things from this Indiana team.
So I was thinking about putting Indiana in my top 25, and to be honest, I was thinking about putting them within my top 20. But the biggest problem that I had, the biggest issue that I had, is you have the week one of the season at Iowa. That game is just, but to be his, Michael Penix's game, first game off the ACL tear, I find that really hard. That's a very hard game to come off a ACL tear. So I think that they would lose that game. You have a home game against Cincinnati. I think that's a possible loss. You have a game at Penn State, which may be a wideout game. That's a possible loss. You have Ohio State. That's a definite loss, most likely, I feel like. You have at Maryland, depending on how good Maryland is this season, just depending on how good Mike Locksby is. And then you have middling teams like Michigan, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Purdue. Those are all winnable games, but I think that you're struggling so early in the season that it could hurt you in the long term. That's my thoughts on Indiana. At number 18, I have the TCU Horned Frogs. I think that TCU, even though they lost some of those key players in the secondary, I think that they are still a solid football team. And I think Gary Patterson, like I said previously, is a solid football coach that has been around, I think, for like 18, 19 years. So I really think that Gary Patterson will continue to be able to lead TCU into a good another year. And to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if they're higher than this. Do you have anything else to add about TCU, Lincoln? If not, who is your number 18 team?
TCU is a really good team, and Gary Patterson is 20-plus years. So this, I think he's going into his 21st year.
Wow.
Or his 20th year coaching. He is just an insanely sustained coach. At number 18, I have NC State. I told you earlier in the video they would be higher. I've already talked about TCU some. I had them at 24. I think they're a good team with a good offense. The defense, it can be questionable, but I think with it being a Big 12 defense, I know they return a good bit of starters. But I think with it being a Big 10 defense, it's not, you can't count on it. But I think it'll be a top, upper tier defense in the Big 12. The offense is going to be good. But at 18, I have NC State. NC State is a solid team. We've already talked about Devin Leary, dark horse Heisman contender. They have a really good offense, a solid defense to back it up. They have weapons all over the field, and they have playmakers on the defensive side of the ball, which I think is the biggest key to NC State going 9-3, which is what I have them going.
So my biggest thing with NC State, and I'm not going to reveal what my thoughts are on them against Clemson because you can watch the video, and I want you to watch the video. But you just
revealed it by
yes, yes, that's true, that's true. But NC State does have a lot of tough games against Clemson, at Boston College, at Miami, at Florida State, and North Carolina this season. So I think that they're going to be a little bit farther behind just because the CFP does not really like ACC teams. Whether that's fair or not, that's a whole other matter to discuss. And whether or not the CFP even exists in a little bit, we'll see what structure. But that's a conversation for another day. So heading on to number 17, I have Liberty, the Liberty Flames, and Hugh Freeze as their head coach. I think that one of the key things for a group of five / independent, I know they're not a group of five team, but they're equal to a group of five team in stature and prominence and stuff like that. So I think that Liberty, the biggest thing that you need as a group of five team to really succeed is a quarterback, and that's something that Liberty has. So that's why I have them this high. And with their only loss being last year to a NC State team that is pretty good, I think that this is a season that Liberty continues to improve. And with, yeah, you have to play Hugh Freeze's old team and Ole Miss. But other than that, the schedule seems pretty favorable. So I have them at number 17. What do you think of Liberty, and where do you have them at?
I have Liberty a little bit higher. I'm not going to reveal where I have them at. I have them a little bit higher. But I think they're a great team, especially offensively with Joshua Mack at running back, Malik Willis at quarterback. He just is an absolute monster. And I expect big, big things out of Liberty this year. And then at 17, my 17th team, I have Penn State. I have Penn State going 9-3. I think they're a really good team. They get some pieces back. They have a fairly favorable schedule. They get a lot of their bigger teams or bigger games at home. They'll probably, a lot of them, be night games and wideouts. Like the Auburn game, I'm expecting a wideout there for sure. Probably a night game there in Happy Valley. And I just like Penn State overall. They have a solid defense, a pretty good offense, especially in the run game. And I expect Penn State to win 9 games.
So I think Penn State is actually going to be an interesting team, and I have them a little bit higher in my ranking just because I think that they're going to be the second-best team in the Big Ten East. And I think with not playing in that conference championship game, it could hurt them a little bit, but I have them a little bit higher. Generally, I don't know what I think of James Franklin because last year was, like, awful, but I also would say that last year is kind of like a wash year for everybody, in a sense that if you did good and then you did bad that year, I'm going to give you kind of a blank slate and just say that year really didn't happen unless if it continues. But I think that James Franklin will right the ship and will have Penn State continuing on its success. At number 16, I have LSU. I talked a little bit about my opinions of LSU previously. But I think LSU, they have a favorable schedule. I don't know what I think of Miles Brennan or whatever quarterback they play. Most likely him, but we'll see.
Johnson, I've heard, is making a push. If they have a good QB battle going on. And another thing to look out is the transfer portal is playing a role in decisions on who starts. Because if you start Miles Brennan, Max Johnson gets mad transfers. You only have Brennan for 1 year, whereas Max Johnson is a sophomore with, I think, 4 years of eligibility left.
Yeah, well, the most interesting thing about that is, doesn't LSU, if I remember correctly, let me look this up, because, again, we sound stupid if we make assumptions. If LSU, don't they have, they do not have a big quarterback type of guy coming in. I thought they had a 5-star quarterback coming in, but I guess not.
I think Max Johnson was, but he was a couple years ago, a year or two ago.
So my biggest thing with LSU is that I think LSU is a good team with a lot of potential. The biggest thing is their schedule is pretty favorable, but I would say that they will probably struggle against higher levels of competition like Alabama or maybe a Texas A&M or an Ole Miss or whoever else they play, or Florida. They could struggle against guys like that. So, Lincoln, I think you said most of your thoughts on LSU. If you want to add anything, go ahead. But who do you have at number 16?
So real quickly, I'll just let you guys know. Max Johnson was a 4-star recruit, the 10th best pro-style quarterback in his class, in the class of 2020. And he was the 26th best player from Georgia, 253rd nationally. At 16, I have Louisiana Lafayette. We've already kind of talked about them with their really good offense, really good coaching. They're just an all-around good team. I think they'll go 11-2 and be the Sun Belt runner-up, losing both games to Coastal. Coastal is just such a good team, and I just don't see Louisiana standing a chance, but they're still a really, really good team, and I have them going 11-2 and finishing 16th.
Here is the only thing that I'm going to disagree with Lincoln on this. I agree with the record, the game predictions and stuff like that, but I think at number 16, it's a little bit too high for a 2-loss group of 5 team just because the committee I kind of disagree with it, but they're not very favorable to two-loss group of five teams. So I'm going to say that I have them lower just because I agree with the record and everything like that, but I just don't think that the CFP is as favorable as me or Lincoln or anybody else. So do you want to say anything else, or can I go on to number 15?
Go on to your number 15.
Speaking of the Sun Belt Conference and Coastal Carolina, I have Coastal Carolina at number 15. I think that with the returning of Grayson McCall, I was kind of surprised a little bit that he didn't transfer, but I guess with his coach staying and Jamie Chadwell, I think that kind of convinced him. But I think that the Shawna Clears may take a step back this year just because with the loss of C-Bay Maribel and a couple other defensive pieces, I think they could struggle, but with running the style of offense that they do with the arm that McCall has, I think it may be an interesting style of whether this type of offense is run more widely, because I think that this is an offense that kind of curiouses me just because it's an offense that a quarterback with an arm is running a triple option styled offense. I think that that's kind of interesting, and I guess kind of Georgia Tech-esque. What do you think of Coastal Carolina, and who do you have at number 15?
So Coastal Carolina, I have them a little higher up. I love Coastal Carolina, big fan of them. Grayson McCall, a top 10 quarterback in the country, in my opinion. He has a very good arm. He's gonna go to the NFL, and he will probably be a starter for a very long time in the league. At 15, I have the Notre Dame Fighting Little Green Men going 9-3 overall, losing to Cincinnati, Wisconsin. And surprisingly enough, I have them losing to North Carolina. A lot of people, including Chicago Sports Network, who, by the way, is a huge Notre Dame homer, he believes that Notre Dame will do a lot better than I have them. But Notre Dame only returns 3 starters on offense, 6 on the defensive side of the ball. They lose very key players. I just don't like what Notre Dame has talent-wise. They do have Michael Mayer, who is one of, if not the best, tight ends in college football. And they have Kyle Hamilton, who is the best safety in college football. But I just don't like this team overall. And I like particularly Wisconsin, North Carolina, and Cincinnati a lot better than this Notre Dame team.
Here's the thing, as a Notre Dame fan, and I'm not going to get too far into this just because we'll talk about this for 10 minutes and it will suck up everybody's time, but the thing that I have to say about Notre Dame is this: we're not playing Clemson this year, we're not playing Ohio State, and we're not playing Bama or anybody that's like a top tier school particularly, and the only team that I think can physically compete with Notre Dame is Wisconsin, because I think that Notre Dame is able to physically just dominate anybody that they play except for Wisconsin. So I think that Notre Dame is a better team than this, and I don't think that they lose to a team like Cincinnati, because they haven't lost a home game in almost 4 years, and they haven't been able to they haven't lost to many group of five teams, even if they are a good team. And I think that with the addition of Marcus Freeman, I think that helps Notre Dame more than it hurts, or I think it hurts Cincinnati, because of Luke Fickell is running probably a similar style team, and Marcus Freeman may change a little bit. So we'll see what that kind of has an impact on that game. And North Carolina, here's the thing. Everybody thought, there were a lot of people that thought Notre Dame was going to lose to North Carolina. And I said that Notre Dame was not going to lose to North Carolina, mostly because Notre Dame, it's just not an upset alert that most people thought it was. And I think that it was an important game that really showed a lot of people that Notre Dame was better than North Carolina. And I think with North Carolina losing their top two wide receivers and top two running backs and one of their best defensive players, I feel like it's hard to put North Carolina ahead of Notre Dame in that type of game. I'm going to hand it over to you, Lincoln. So I will let you respond a little bit, and then I'll get into my number 14 team.
I just have to say one thing. Notre Dame has not won a meaningful bowl game since 1994. So
I would like to ask what that has to do with bearing of the regular season. Because North Carolina hasn't won a meaningful bowl game. Cincinnati hasn't won a meaningful bowl game. And Wisconsin...
I believe North Carolina just beat Texas A&M in the Orange Bowl last year. Did they not? They lost, that's right, but they had their entire team out of the game. They had their
top two receivers and a running back. But Notre Dame beat that team.
That's great, and got their butts kicked by Clemson and Bama.
Yes,
Notre Dame has yet to win a meaningful postseason game since 1994.
That has no bearing
at
on
14,
what happens.
At 14, I have Liberty. I have them going 11-1. I've already talked about them a little bit with Malik Willis, a great quarterback, Joshua Mack, a really good running back. This offense is so dynamic and explosive. They have two other tough games. I have them losing on the road to Ole Miss. They have two other tough games. They have Louisiana at home, they go on the road to UAB, but I think they win both those games. They're just the better team in both of those games. And Liberty just has a very explosive offense and a very dynamic offense as well.
I kind of said, I already kind of talked about Liberty, so I'm going to kind of skip over them to my number 14 team, Penn State. I've already talked about them a lot, so I don't think I have much more to say on Penn State. I think that Penn State does kind of have a lot of favorable matchups at home and not on the road, which is something that Penn State has struggled with more on the road than at home. I think that Happy Valley is a tough place to play, and that is an advantage that Penn State has over other teams. My number 13 team is Oregon. I think that the Oregon Ducks are a big competitor in the Pac-12 this year, and I think a lot of people are not expecting Oregon to be a great team, even though they have the best defensive player in the NCAA, just purely an impact player. I think Kyle Hamilton you could debate, but I think Kalavon Thibodeau he's pretty dynamic in his own right. So what do you think of Oregon, and who do you have at number 13?
Surprisingly enough, and we did not set this up or anything. We did not intentionally set stuff up. But I do have Oregon at number 13 as well. I like the Ducks. I think they're going to have a good season. Interesting to see if Justin Flo ever becomes anything really like that five-star rating that he had. He was supposed to be a five-star. He opted out, I believe, last season. So we'll see what he can do this year.
So we didn't plan that, but I think that's pretty much the only team that we have that's ranked together.
We had Ole Miss. I had them at 20. You had them at 19, and I think that was the closest we've been so far.
Yeah. So at number 12, I have Cincinnati. So with Cincinnati, like I said before, I don't think that they beat Notre Dame just because the game is at Notre Dame. If this game is in Cincinnati, I think that Cincinnati has the edge. But with this game being in South Bend, I think Notre Dame has the edge. And with the Indiana game, I'm not a super big believer in Michael Penix after that ACL tear just because he's had so many injuries. So I'm going to put my trust in Cincinnati. So I think they finished at number 12. But with that loss to Notre Dame, that kind of pushes them back, and the committee already doesn't like them. They literally got pushed back even after they won their conference championship game. So I just don't think that the committee's going to like them, so that's why I have them finishing at 12. But if it's my own personal ranking, I'd have them at like 8 or 9. Lincoln, what do you think of Cincinnati, and who do you have at number 12?
I want to save my Cincinnati talk for a little later, but they are going to be up a little farther on my board. I will talk about them when I get to them and what I think about them. But at number 12, I have Wisconsin. I think they go 11-2 or 10-3 there, and they'll be the Big Ten runner-up. They'll get absolutely demolished by Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. But they're a solid overall team. They get all their tough games at home or on neutral field. They will beat Notre Dame this year. They're just a better team than Notre Dame. And I like Wisconsin a lot. What are your thoughts on Wisconsin, and who do you have at 11?
I think that Wisconsin, everything And I have Wisconsin. I'm just going to kind of reveal it just because it's important to the conversation. I have them at number 10. But the reason why I reveal that and why all of Wisconsin's season hinges on, is Graham Mertz any good? Is he what most people expected him to be? Because if he's not, this Wisconsin team may get beat up by Notre Dame, may get beat up by Ohio State, beat up by even maybe Minnesota or Iowa or teams like this, because if Graham Mertz isn't good, that running game isn't, they don't have the star that they used to in Jonathan Taylor or Melvin Ingram or on and on and on. So you kind of need Graham Mertz to be good, and I expect him to be. So I have Wisconsin being a pretty good team. At number 11, I have the Southern Cal Trojans. I have them as my Pac-12 champions, even though that gives me it gives me terrible remorse to put them as Pac-12 champions. I just think that they're the most complete team in the Pac-12. I know that Arizona State's pretty good, and that I don't know. It's such a tough thing to rank. Like, if Arizona State and USC change places, it doesn't surprise me one bit, because I don't like Clay Helton. I don't think that Keaton Slovich is as good as once advertised. Like, Notre Dame played Sam Darnold a couple of years ago in 2018 and put the torch to Sam Darnold and his career. So I think that USC could be an interesting team this year, and I think will be. What do you think about USC? And
guess who else Notre Dame played in 2018?
Who?
You played Clemson. You got beat 30.
Yes, I understand that. And I'm telling you that Clemson is one of, like, two or three of the best teams of all time. Like them and then LSU in 2019. So all I am saying is that I'll give you credit. Clemson 2018 was, like, one of the best teams of all time, period.
I think that's the first time you've actually said something good about Clemson.
I have said plenty of good things about Clemson.
I don't recall.
Yes, I have. But either way, what do you think of USC particularly, and who do you have at number 11?
I don't like USC at all. I don't even have them ranked. I think Washington is going to beat them. I think they get that game at home. Let me pull up their schedule right here real quick. But they're going to lose to Arizona State. Arizona State is going to be the Pac-12 champion. The Pac-12 championship is already won. It's going to go to Arizona State. We all already know that.
All I want to say is the Pac-12 championship is not like Alabama in the SEC, Ohio State in the Big Ten, and Oklahoma in the Big 12, and Clemson in the ACC. This is not a surefire thing, and it hasn't ever been. Same goes for the ACC Coastal Conference. It's never a surefire thing. Who's going to win that? A crap fest.
Oregon, in my opinion, is the only other team that compete with Arizona State, and I still think they lose the Pac-12 championship, but I think it'll be close. I just don't like USC, and their schedule isn't very favorable either. They play some really tough road games. They play at Arizona State. They go on the road to Notre Dame. I think they lose that game. I think they'll lose to Utah. UCLA might beat them this year. There's a lot of teams on USC's schedule that I think could beat them. I just don't like them at all, and I don't like Clay Helton either. So I don't think USC ends up ranked. I think Keaton Slovis is overhyped, one of the most overhyped quarterbacks in the history, probably since Sam Darnold. But my number 11 team is Coastal Carolina. I think they go 13-0, win the Sun Belt. There's nobody really on that schedule that can compete with them other than maybe arguably App State and Louisiana. But they beat Louisiana last year the time they played, and I think they'll beat them again this year both times.
Well, I think the only interesting thing is that I think the Louisiana game is, I'm pretty sure, at Coastal. And I'm pretty sure the App State game is at App State. So I think that App State game could be really interesting just because it being at App State and not at Coastal.
And I think the Sun Belt Conference Championship is played at the number one seeds. I think it's played at the number one seed stadium. So that would be that would mean if Coastal wins the original game, then that would mean that Coastal gets both of the games at home.
Yeah, that is true. I think that that could be an interesting point. That wraps up number 11 through number 25. We're going to have a quick ad break before we get to the top 10. Make sure that you stay tuned, and let's get started with our top 10. Bye.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. I'm American Football Network, joined by Chicago Sports Network. We really appreciate all of you guys that have listened this far in the podcast. I know this is a very long episode, probably going to be the longest on both of ours. But we have our top 10 now for you, so we really appreciate you guys. Let's get started with our top 10. At number 10, I have the Texas A&M Aggies. I have them going 10-2. They're a really good team. I'm interested to see what Haynes King can do in that offense. Jimbo Fisher, a good coach in my opinion. Isaiah Spiller, for me, is really the guy to look out for. I think Isaiah Spiller's a really good running back. I think he will be first team all SEC this year at the running back position. He is a top 10 running back in the country. He's him and Kevin Harris from South Carolina, I expect to be first team all SEC running backs with Isaiah Spiller being the best. But they have a fairly easier schedule as well. I mean, they get their toughest games are obviously Alabama at home, at Ole Miss, and at LSU. But Alabama at home will be a good game to watch because I'm interested to see this game. I'm actually going to pick Texas A&M to win this game. I think A&M has a good season. I do think they finished the year at 10-2 and runner-ups in the West because I think they'll lose at Ole Miss. And I think they'll win, not necessarily Bama, but they'll win two of three. They'll lose 2 of 3 to Bama, at Ole Miss, and at LSU. I think they'll lose 2 of 3 of those. I think they'll win at 1. But A&M, good team. Who's your number 10 team, and what do you think about A&M?
So to start with A&M here, I have them a little bit higher, so I'm going to leave most of what I think about them for a little bit later. But mainly, I think it all comes down to whether you think Hayes King is going to be a good enough quarterback to compete with SEC opponents, which is something that I'm going to find interesting because you'll find my thoughts later on. But I think Texas A&M is going to have another great season, and I expect them to go like 10-2, 11-1 on that. Speaking of my number 10 team, I have the Wisconsin Badgers at number 10. I think that Wisconsin is a pretty good team this year. Graham Mertz is a pretty good quarterback. The only thing that I'm a little bit concerned of is he is still yet to prove anything. Like, he on a consistent basis, he had a great game against Illinois, but it's Illinois. He had a decent 2019 when Jack Cohn went down with an injury. So, he hasn't had sustained success, so I'm just a little bit concerned of whether he can stay healthy, whether he can continue success. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. But generally, I think Wisconsin's a pretty good program, and that's why I have them at number 10. Who do you have at number 9, Lincoln, and what do you think of Wisconsin?
I like Wisconsin. I've already talked about them earlier. I have them at number 12. Wisconsin going to be a good team this year. And they have a particularly easier schedule. They get a lot of their tough games at home. At number 9, I have North Carolina. I think North Carolina will be a good team this year. They have a lot of weapons on the offense. Sam Howell, top 3 quarterback in the country. Also in that mix, DJ Uiagalelei from Clemson and Spencer Rattler. You can order those guys however you want, but you can't deny those three guys are the top 3 quarterbacks in the country. And Sam Howell is just I think he's the second best. I think Spencer Rattler is the best quarterback in the country. But Sam Howell is going to lead this offense. The defense, and particularly the secondary, is going to be one of the best defenses in the country. I think that secondary will be a top 5 secondary in the country with several guys on that back end that are very talented. My favorite in which being Storm Duck, he just has a great name. But We'll see what happens with those guys. What are your thoughts on North Carolina, and who do you have at number 9?
Well, I think that North Carolina is an incredibly good team, and I think that they are going to be a good overall team. They have a tough game against Notre Dame. We'll see whether they have a tough game against Miami, because obviously it wasn't a tough game last year. But I think that the losses of Daz Newsome, Diami Brown, and a bunch of other different weapons that they lost, I think can be really difficult in the upcoming season. But generally, I think they are a good team with probably 2 losses, including the ACC championship game in their season. At number 9, I have Georgia. So I think that Georgia is going to be a pretty good team this year, and I think that they will make the SEC championship game. But I think Georgia will lose 2 games this season to Clemson and Alabama, and I think that they're not going to be particularly close games. So that's why I have them at number 9, just because I think that they'll get pretty well blown out. So I think the committee won't like them as much, so they'll put them down at number 9. What do you think of the Georgia Bulldogs, and who do you have at number 9?
You mean number 8?
Number 8. I'm sorry.
Speaking of number 8, I have the Georgia Bulldogs at number 8. So I think I agree. I think they go 11-2. They'll lose to Clemson and Bama. It'll be somewhat close, but it's going to be a pretty big win for each team. Bama, of course, going to beat them in the SEC championship. So I do think Georgia goes 11-2, SEC runner-up. They have good backs, in particular Zamir White, and they have a bunch of other 5. Their worst running back is a 4-star recruit freshman. I forget his name, but because he's obviously not relevant in this conversation, because he's their 4th or 5th running back. But they have all 4 stars at running back, except Zamir White's a 5-star, and I believe James Cook, their backup running back, was also a 5-star. They have JT Daniels, a good offensive, a good quarterback. They have to lead this really good offense. They only return 1 receiver with George Pickens going down and Jermaine Burton, a starter. And they also pick up tight end Eric Gilbert. I believe he transferred from LSU. LSU or Florida, I don't remember which one. Maybe both of them. There was some weird stuff going on with him. He was He just moved around everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem for them is the defense. They only return 4 starters on that defense, 1 defensive lineman, 1 safety, and 2 linebackers. They lose a lot of guys on that back end, especially to the NFL off this defense. But they do pick up transfers, Darian Kendrick and Tyke Smith. So I still think they'll have a solid defense. I just expect the linebacker core in particular to struggle a lot compared to the team last year and those good linebackers headlined by Monty Rice and Azeez Ojulari. So you already gave your thoughts on Georgia. Who do you have at number 7?
The North Carolina Tar Heels. We're both messing up here. So now it's even. I have the North Carolina Tar Heels. I think that North Carolina is a 2-loss team this season, 1 loss to Notre Dame and 1 loss to Clemson. And I think with them losing in the ACC championship game, I think that they're still going to be a pretty good team this year. I just don't think they'll be as good as last year, just because I don't know whether they're going to be able to replace the talent they had on the outside. And I like Sam Howell. But we'll see how good he is. I'm not 100% sure on Mack Brown. So I think that they are a good team this year, but we'll see whether they can beat the great teams that they play against.
Yes, North Carolina is going to be a very good team this year. At 7, I have the Pac-12 champs in the Arizona State Sun Devils. I think they'll go 12-1. They'll lose one of those games on the road during the tough regular season that they have. They have 2 hard, rough games. I believe they play at Utah, and I know they play at Washington. I think they might lose that game on the road to Washington. But they're still a very good team, and I think that'll be their only loss of the season. And I think they'll beat Oregon in the Pac-12 championship. Arizona State, yes, looking at their schedule, they play at Utah and at Washington. And they play at UCLA. I think they win two out of the 3 of those games. They return 7 starters on offense. They don't return, or they do return their top 3 top four receivers, excuse me. They returned their top five rushers, and they returned their starting quarterback. They also returned eight starters on the defensive side of the ball, and they have a fairly good, fairly easy schedule other than those three games. Outside of that, they played Washington, Oregon State, Arizona, Colorado, Southern Utah, UNLV. So they get a lot of teams nowhere near their talent level. And I want to give you one interesting stat before we get before you share your number seven team. Arizona State, they had an average field position starting the ball on offense at the 35-yard line. That was third in the country. And opponents started at the 25.5-yard line. That was fifth best in the country. So they were very good. And then I want to give you their finishing drives. Their offense was 5.0. That was seventh. The defense was 4.5. That was 87th. But that offense is really good. So the finishing drives is points per trip inside the 40-yard line. They averaged 5 points per trip. They made it inside the 40-yard line. So really, that's a really good number there for the Sun Devils. Who do you have at number seven?
So speaking of the Sun Devils, I gave my opinion on them a little bit earlier in this podcast, but I just want to make up some points here, is that the Arizona State Sun Devils have not won more than 8 games in the past 6 years, and they went 2-2 last year. In 4 total games. So I would say that their stats, the starting field position for last year, those were a little bit inflated just because you only played 4 games. The only thing that I have to see from Arizona State before I declare them Pac-12 champions is that I don't know whether Herm Edwards hasn't even had like a 9-10 win season. And for me to expect him to win the Pac-12 this year, with proven guys in Oregon and USC or Utah, I don't know if I can put them over that. So I think that could be interesting. Do you need to say anything before I go on my number 17?
Their two losses, they came on the they lost their first two, won their last two. They lost at USC by 1 point, 28-27, in a thriller in the first week of the Pac-12, and then they lost to USC at home 25-18. So they only lost by a touchdown to UCLA, 1 point to USC. So closer games. The offense was really struggling there in the beginning, but then they really turned it on their last two games. They go on the road to Arizona and they beat them 70-7, and they go on the road to Oregon State and beat them 46-33. So they also kind of had a weird schedule playing 3 road games compared to just 1 home game. But I do think the Arizona State Sun Devils are going to be a really good team this year.
Yeah, they should be a really interesting team. But going on to my number 7 team, and this is going to be a game team that Lincoln vehemently disagrees with, I have the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I think the Fighting Irish go 11-1 with either a loss to Wisconsin or UNC, I guess. I think that there is a very high likelihood that Jack Cohn steps in and that there is not a massive drop-off compared to Ian Book, just because Ian Book was not like of a superb talent, even though he was a fantastic game manager. Same goes for Jack Cohn. So I think that there could be some hiccups earlier in the season, but Notre Dame does not play any of their tough games first 3 weeks, so I think all those hiccups will be gone within the first 3 weeks. So I expect Notre Dame to be the number 17 in the nation. Any other thoughts you want to add on Notre Dame? And then who do you have at number 6, is it?
Make sure you guys come back and listen to this podcast after the season when Notre Dame goes 8-4, 9-3.
We will be doing a college football recap end of the season.
10-2 at best. They're losing to Cincinnati. Cincinnati is the best team on their schedule. They have the better players on the field.
I would vehemently disagree.
Desmond Ritter is going to be the best player in this game.
I think Kyle Hamilton is the best player.
Right, because he's a Notre Dame.
No, because Desmond Ritter has.
Hold on, this is my turn. Because you're a Notre Dame homer and he's the Notre Dame safety. Notre Dame is not going to go 11-1. They will lose to Cincinnati, and they're going to lose to either Wisconsin, UNC, USC for sure. I think they lose two of those games. Virginia may even beat them, because many people have Virginia doing very good and winning. Some people even have them upsetting North Carolina yet again and winning the Coastal. But I don't think Virginia beats Notre Dame. But I could see I could see all four of those tough teams beating them. But I think three of them do. So I think Notre Dame goes 9-3, and I had them 15. But at number six, I have Iowa State. I have them going 12-1, the Big 12 runner up. They lose. I have them beating Oklahoma in the regular season, losing to Oklahoma at the end of the season in the Big 12 championship. I like the Cyclones a lot. They return Charlie Kohler, the tight end. They return Breece Hall, the running back, and they return Brock Purdy, the quarterback. So they have their three-headed monster on the offensive side of the ball. The defense is really good too. This offense is going to be a dynamic offense, an explosive offense. But I just think Oklahoma has more firepower to beat them, and I think they'll finish ranked sixth yet again.
So I think that Iowa State, I'm going to leave my thoughts for later on in the video, or video, podcast, I'm sorry, guys. But I'm going to go on to my number six team, and then I'm going to talk about Iowa State when I rank them. At number six, I have the Texas A&M Aggies. I think that the Aggies are a great team this year. And I think that other than a loss to Alabama, I think that they most likely win all their games this season. I'm not expecting them to I'm expecting them to beat Ole Miss or LSU, so I think that they have wins there. So what do you think of Texas A&M if you want to add anything? And who do you have at number five?
Yeah, I've already talked about A&M. I think they're going to be a good team. But at number five, I have the Cincinnati Bearcats. I have them going 12-0, winning their, 13-0, the AAC champs. I think, yet again, they're left just outside of the playoff, though, because the committee does not want Group of Five teams in the college football playoff. But Cincinnati's going to be a good team, going to have a good season, and I think they'll go undefeated.
So at number five for me, I have the Oklahoma Sooners. I already talked about Cincinnati and my thoughts. If you want to go back, you can listen to that part of the podcast. But at number five, I have Oklahoma. I think it is the opposite of what Lincoln said. I think Iowa State loses the in-season matchup, and I think that they win the Big 12 championship because I just think that there's a little bit of a revenge factor there. For Iowa State. So another thing is that I think Oklahoma could lose a second game this season because they just seem to lose a game they're not supposed to, aka Kansas State, every single season. So I have Oklahoma at number five. Lincoln, you already talked a little bit about Oklahoma. Do you want to add anything? And then let's go into our playoff teams.
Oklahoma is my, well, we can go into our playoff teams. I have Oklahoma in the playoff.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Oklahoma, I have them at number four, 12-1, Big 12 champs. I like Oklahoma. They're going to have one of, if not the most explosive offense in the country. But I do think they trip up to Iowa State in the regular season. But I think Oklahoma's going to have a great season. That defense is finally starting to come along as well.
Okay, so, yeah, I think that Oklahoma is a good, talented team this year. I think their defense could be a little bit scarier. But, like always, I think that they fall a little bit short for a national championship or even a national championship run. At number four, I have the Clemson Tigers. If you want to know anything about how I think the Clemson season will go, go check out the YouTube video either on American Football Network or Chicago Sports Network of our Clemson 2021 season prediction. So make sure you go check that out. But I have Clemson, I'm not going to spoil it, but I have Clemson losing one game throughout the season. So I think that Clemson finishes at number four, mostly because I think that the other team that loses a game in the playoff has a better loss than Clemson, so I think that they will finish one spot behind at number four.
So you think Clemson beats Georgia and loses to another team?
Yes, correct.
You're out of your mind. I have Alabama at number three. I'll talk about Clemson in a little bit once we get up there to them. I have Alabama at number three. I think they go 12-1 SEC champs. I think they'll lose one game in the regular season. No, it's not Miami, so don't you Miami fans don't get excited. You suck.
To be
I don't
fair,
even have you ranked.
To be fair, he had you guys predicting Miami to win that game. I know it was a joke.
That was a joke to get people stirred up and riled up in the comment section.
I'm just going to create a meme video of that for you.
But no, Miami is not winning that game at all. Bama is going to beat them by 18-plus points. They'll blow them out. Derek King, you can talk all you want about how he's going to go into the game 100% healthy, but I promise you he will not come out of that game at 100% healthy. What are your thoughts on Bama?
I'm going to talk about Bama a little bit more when I get a little bit higher. But I think that they're a very good team and that Bryce Young is ready to step up right away. I learned my lesson in 2018 when Tua took over the job from Jalen Hurts, never to doubt Nick Saban and Alabama. So I'm not going to this season either. I have them later on in my prediction. But at number three, I have the Iowa Cyclones. I'm kind of a guy that kind of likes to pick one upset type of team in my playoff. I don't like doing the boring stuff, even if it's not likely to happen. Whenever I do my March Madness brackets, I've picked Notre Dame to go to the Final Four when they went to the Elite Eight. I picked Oregon.
Who would be surprised?
I picked Oregon to win the national championship when they went to the Final Four. So I just pick a bunch of random teams sometimes just that I kind of like.
Picked UCLA in the Final Four, didn't you?
No, I didn't pick UCLA. I didn't pick – this year I picked
– You picked Georgetown to win it.
No, I did not pick Georgetown. That was you, my friend.
That was you.
I picked Loyola to go to the Final Four.
Loyola,
that was
yeah, that's what it was.
That was
yeah,
my upset
Georgetown.
Type of guy. And to be honest, I was almost right if the Oregon State whatevers – we're not talking about college basketball.
The Oregon State whatevers that beat Notre Dame two times.
That was
20
years ago. Do we need to go back to when Clemson was 20 years ago? They weren't even relevant 20 years ago.
And neither was Notre Dame. You want to talk about 20 years ago, but
Notre Dame was more relevant than Clemson
20
years ago.
You want to talk about how that doesn't matter because it was 20 years ago. But then you want to talk about how Notre Dame was all this historical power and you've done all this stuff. You haven't done anything since 1988.
I am saying it is not relative to the video. I am saying it's not relative to the
video. No, that's not what you're saying. That's not what you're saying. You're saying
whatever. We need to move on.
We need to
move on.
That's why we need to move on because I got you in a hole.
I do not.
At number two, I have Ohio State. I have them going 13-0, Big Ten champs. They have the best receivers in the country and the receiver group in the country. Headlined by Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. They have a good running back group. And Quinn Ewers is coming early. I think C.J. Stroud was good enough to get him 13-0 in number two. But I think Quinn Ewers is even better than him. So they're going to – he might not start week one, but he'll be starting eventually. It depends on how quickly he can come in and learn that offense. But I think Ohio State's going to have a really good year. I have them going 13-0, Big Ten champs, finishing second.
We did not plan this, but I also have Ohio State number two, 13-0. I think that they're the second best team in the country, just behind my number one team, who I'm sure you can guess at this point is Alabama, unfortunately. But I have Ohio State is a super dominant team. The only reason why I have them at two and not at one is because I think the CFP committee favors SEC teams over anybody else. So that's why I have Alabama at one over Ohio State. So, do you want to say who's number one, and then we'll get into our final thoughts and then end this podcast?
So, I have Clemson at number one. They have a top three offense behind Oklahoma and probably Ohio State. They have the best defense out of the four teams in the playoff that I have in the playoff by far, especially on that D-line with guys like Brian Bercy, Miles Murphy, Tyler Davis, and Xavier Thomas / KJ Henry. Getting Justin Foster back is really good as well. The secondary, very talented and very experienced. And then the linebackers, of course, you have two super seniors and I believe Trent Simpson was a five-star, and he's in his second year now. And so obviously he won the job, or Mike Jones would not have transferred out. So Trent Simpson is a pretty good guy, and I expect Clemson to have a big year.
Okay, well, I have to wrap up, I have Alabama at 1, Ohio State 2, Iowa State 3, and Clemson at 4. Those are the four CFP teams. Lincoln over here has Clemson at 1, Ohio State at 2, Alabama at 3, and Oklahoma at 4. Is there anything you want to say before we end out on this podcast? And, yeah.
I just want to say if you guys watched and made it this far, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. We hope to see you next time, but I think that's all we have for today. And I think that's all we got. And we'll see you next time.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.